don't know this, but we live in a very sick world, and there's no question that a riot and immorality has existed since the times of Adam and Chava. That's clear. Chazal tells us that the Nefesh desired Chava in some way, that had a taiva for her to be with Chava. And obviously Cain and Hevel was a fight over the second twin, over a girl, so to speak. We know what happened by Dor HaMavol, that the nation was destroyed because of Arias. And after the Mavol, although the world was gadur ba'Arias, the Gemara says, that they were gadur ba'Arias in a way that they were protected from something for the few hundred years afterward, there seemed to have been no direct problem. Nonetheless, Mitzrayim was known as a place of Arayos, a prost nation. Dina was taken by Shechem, which seemed to be not the, let's call it the norm for the other nations, not the norm in Bnei Yisrael, among Bnei Yisrael, and there were Zonas in the streets. Zonas were not uncommon. Yehuda pictured Tamar to be a Zonas. There's clear there has been around, and the Torah mentions such things. Historically, we know that the Torah speaks about Maaseh Eretz Mitzrayim, the deeds of Eretz Mitzrayim, and refers to people marrying each other that shouldn't be married to one another, people doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and that's known as Maaseh Eretz Mitzrayim. We're warned not to do like Maaseh Eretz Mitzrayim. Arias is mentioned in Parshas Achrimos and Kedoshim. You have first the Yisur and the Lavan, and then afterward the Onshin that are mentioned one after the other. So there's no question that if I would ask you, has this existed for the past few millennia, there's no question everybody would say, of course, Znos has existed since the beginning of time, literally since the first day of time. There has been a riot in some way, shape, or form since day one. That's without a question. But there's something unprecedented, and this is something that has exploded in our world, something that is so much worse than anything that has ever existed up until this time. And that is the access. There has never been a world of accessibility like we have right now. Granted, those things were possible back then, but it took effort to find a Zona, to be together with a Zona, to do things which everybody knew was awesome. It took effort. It took a person going out of his way to do such a thing. It wasn't able to be done in your status quo, where you were. You had to walk outside of your Dalet Amos, go away from your town, do something somewhere else, and that already took guts. That took a really strength of character to go out and be over on something there. Of course, something could happen, but you have to walk outside. You have to do something. It was very difficult for it to happen by you. Here, you have access to so many people that you are never going to meet, that don't have to say yes to your questions of, can I look at you? Those will never be an issue. And for that exposure to be out there in our world, within that accessibility that you have, literally in your own hands at times, there has never been a world like this. There's never been anything like it. It's literally an explosion of tumah. There hasn't been, however much we've been able to have. I mean, think about it. There are billion-dollar industries that are based on this. Billion-dollar industries. On the magazine business, on the phone business, on Las Vegas, right there. And, of course, the Internet. There are entire businesses entirely dedicated just to bring more tumah in the world and to spread a riot everywhere to places where people would not have it otherwise. People wouldn't be able to have any such access. They now have access to such things. A picture of someone at a moment of indiscretion, especially if that person is famous, if that person is well known by other people, if that person is known as a prude who won't act in movies that show off her body and the way it is, you get a picture of that person, it could be sold for thousands to up to millions of dollars just to get that one picture, that no one else can get. It's crazy. It's a sick world that seems to be getting worse and worse. And every time something comes out where you're sitting there and you're saying, maybe it's getting a little bit better. For example, when the Princess of Wales was pictured by a random photographer that had stolen a picture of her and it was sold to a British tabloid magazine for crazy amounts of money. When that picture came out, and everyone went crazy, I thought, maybe the world's getting a little bit better. Maybe people are figuring it out. Maybe people are seeing that that's not the right thing to do. And then immediately, you have a situation which, I don't know when it happened, over the last few weeks, where a person just poses completely naked and allows herself to be seen everywhere online, and where pictures, even if they're somewhat blurred out, that you can't see the what it actually shows you, but nonetheless you get the idea of what this little piece of garbage is trying to show you. Brandon, it's everywhere online, and everyone's talking about it, and everyone says it, use it as almost like a side note. You know, you're living in a world that is so filled with tuma that everybody's just waiting for the next level. Everybody's just waiting for that time where these things are going to be mastered. And you're waiting, you're seeing there, like everybody's got the, no, that shouldn't be done. But if you're going to do it, I'm not going to have any protests. I'm not really going to do anything about it. And you have lone voices in the dark. Lone voices. Few people here and there are saying, that's not right. This should not be done. There should be more protection about these types of things. You shouldn't give kids access to such things. Shouldn't allow these things to happen. And they are going completely unheard. Or if they're being heard, it's, yeah, you're right, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do? That's the way it is. Okay, so what do? You stay away completely. Well, that is almost impossible. Almost impossible. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. You could have a phone, even if it's a smartphone, but with no accessibility to the internet. You have the ability to have a computer that is completely and utterly filtered, and even with a web cover or something else that allows other people to check what you're checking and to see what you're seeing, that's definitely possible. You could keep looking away, and every time it comes up, say that the first look is free and the second look is what sends you to Gehenna, and you could just look once and then turn away immediately. You could definitely do that. You could keep your phone away from you unless you're in a populated area or a place where other people are, or only use public computers. But reality-wise, that's not reality for most people. The reality is that that's not really feasible for anybody. You're going to be in situations where everything will be compromised, and it's not even necessarily your fault. You go to a wedding which you thought was going to be perfectly fine, and there are people there who are undressed or dressed improperly in such a way that you're going to be affected. There's going to be a time where you are going to have access to a certain amount of internet where you will see those pictures. It's going to happen at some point. So what happens at those times? What do you do when you pass by a billboard that happens to have those things on it? Or when you want to stay away and you just, there's no way. The person is next to you. What do you do? So the key is never to be miyayish. The key is never to give up. Give up hope or give up, period, from what your goal is. And your goal is to be metahir yourself. That no matter where the world's going, and no matter what they're saying, and what they're saying is normal, and this is what should be, and whatever they're doing, you sit there and say, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to think differently. And never ever give up hope and say, I'm already a piece of garbage anyway. I've already did enough of this stuff anyway. There's no way I'm actually going to be better. I'm never going to do it. Yish is the worst thing. That is entirely the work of the Yitzhahara. There is nothing else that's worse than that work of the Yitzhahara. That's what he defines himself after. He wants you to feel worthless. He wants you to feel listless. Like you have no chance, no choice, and there's nothing else you can do. Like you can't get better. You can't work on yourself. You can't say anything different. And the honest truth is, it's not true. It's absolutely not true. But it's more than just not being true. You're being destroyed and you're allowing yourself to be destroyed without any hope. You can't let that happen. You are all better than this. You're all better than that. And you have to make yourself into a different person from that point on. And say to yourself, I failed in A. Now let me get to B. And if you fail in B, then now let me get to C. And keep coming up with plans, ideas, efforts, things to have. What happened last night after I finished writing this schmooze? I wanted to check something very, very quickly on my phone. The first thing that came up on the news article that came up on my phone was a picture of a woman, after I wrote this, of a woman that was wearing a bathing suit. The first thing that came up. It's unbelievable. It was on the headline news. The first thing that came up after I wrote this. You have to be able to read. You have to sit there and you have to say to yourself, okay, should I never check the news ever again? That's not realistic. That's not what's going to happen. So what do? You have to say, I'm starting over. I'm working on this. I'm not going to let this happen again. I'm going to make sure this does not happen again. And although I'm not perfect, and although I'm never going to be as perfect as I want to be, maybe I won't. Maybe I won't be able to. I'm going to make sure that I get myself to a position where I will be. And who knows? Maybe there will come a time. Maybe there will be a time where you could be in a place without any access to any of this stuff, and this won't be a worry. No, Mamish, 3 years ago, when I was hearing all the different rabbanim coming out and answering the internet and telling everybody how bad it was, and I was sitting there like, I hear them, but I don't hear them at the same time. Over the last 4 days, I've dealt with one guy with two zonas. I've dealt with one guy with kids. I've dealt with another guy with a married woman. I've dealt with another guy with, unfortunately, an engaged woman. I dealt with another situation where there's, I can't get more detail, a Kala and a Chosin involved. It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. One after the other. And this is over the last 3.5 days. Since what day is it? It's Tuesday? Since Shabbos. Since Shabbos day. I cannot tell you. And each one of them, tell me, each one of them afterwards saying, yeah, there's an issue of pornography in some way, shape, or form. Yeah, there's something there. You can't define it any worse. It is literally the worst thing in the world. My kids are complaining because on our computer, because we have a certain access code, my wife changes the code all the time to make sure that it's always different. And the kids keep complaining because there's a certain part. They have a kids part of the computer where they can go on and they can play on games or whatever it is, but they have no real internet access. They only have that and that's it. So they can't go on without me signing on a code beforehand, a parental code beforehand. But I don't even know the parental code. And when they tell me, why don't you remember the parental code? I don't want it. It's bad enough that I have a computer that technically has Wi-Fi access, right, that has, you know, where I have all my notes on it. It's bad enough that I have that. I do it because I need to save it and whatever is what I want. What else am I going to do? So I have it. But it's bad enough that I have that. Would I also have to have another access to another computer? My wife's computer is off limits for me. I don't know the code onto it, so that makes it easier for me. But this is a married guy. I'm 35. I work as a mashgiach in the yeshiva. Come on. I'm a mashgiach and a rebbe in the yeshiva. Come on, and that's what I'm doing to keep myself away. And I didn't grow up with this stuff. And I didn't. This is our world. This is the world we're in. And it's so bad. It's so terrible. And my daughter wants a phone before she goes to high school? That is not happening. It's not happening. There's no way. I love my daughter tremendously. That's why it's not happening. It's crazy. It's literally crazy out there. And I don't know what to do. I mean, I know I can't keep my kids sheltered forever. I don't think they're sheltered. They're not living in a closet, you know, in a closet somewhere and just understanding. It's a different world. But you can't get down on yourself. You can't feel sad. You can't give up. You can't. Because the world wants you to get right back into it. And that is exactly what Lily, Lamed Yud Saf, wants you to do. Feel sad, get back into it, do it again. And for that, we have this time of year. Shogun. At their time where they're singing their songs and they're all happy and they're taking vacations down to Florida like some people here might be doing, right? And they're doing everything like that. We have a time of Shogun. What is Shogun? Shogun stands for Shmos, Va'ira, Bo, Vishalach, Yisrael, Mishpat. During leap years is the added top, Shogun top of Tumah Tetzaveh. But for us, there's Shogun this year. It's going to take a ton of work to work with, but this is what happens. It's cold outside. It leads to people acting a little bit slower. You might have noticed it in attendance at some point during Seder. Right? It leads to people being covered up a little bit more. So they're not as uncovered. They're able to control. You're able to control tithes a little bit differently. But it's really connected with these parshas. It really is connected with the parshas themselves. Chazal tell us that Dor HaMidbar, the generation that went through all the travail throughout Mitzrayim and eventually left and went to the deserts, an area without tithe whatsoever, was a reincarnation of Dor HaMabul, the ones who were destroyed because of Gilui Arayos. They came back. The Rabbeinu Bachaya mentions it and says it specifically, that Dormammu sinned when it came to Arias, so Bnei Yisrael had to be put in a position where there wouldn't be Arias. They had to be in a position where they would succeed in conquering the Yisrael Harav, trying to get over everything they could. That was their tikkun. Rashi, Nida, Yud Gimel, and Aleph says that the Dor HaMavol, their sin was in Shifa Zer Levatolo. It specialized in Shifa Zer Levatolo. Sure, there was other things going on, but the issue was not Ishatish, the issue was not Krovim, the issue was Shifa Zer Levatolo, specifically wasted seed. That's what it refers to. Their tikkun is through Bnei Yisrael. They were thrown into the Nile River and drowned in the Nile River. They worked hard until they didn't have any taiva left within them. And they had 6 babies at a time to make up for the lost children that were had by the Shifa Zer Levatolo of Dor HaMavol. They had more and more children, more people brought in. And that's the Maimer Chazal. Did they actually have 6 babies at a time? They all had 6 tuplets? Is that possible that they all had them? I don't know. It doesn't matter. The point of the Medrash is not to tell you the historical facts of how many babies were in Mitzrayim. The Medrash is trying to tell you that their tikkun was to have more children, to be metakin for what they had lost the first time around, what they had taken advantage of the first time around. Instead of Noach and a teva and a mabul, there's a different tikkun. This door had Moshe, who also was connected to Noach. They had the Anani HaKavod that surrounded them and protected them. And they had a marble of Torah, a flood of Da'at that allowed their minds to be cleared and put in other things instead, Tahara instead of Tumah, to be able to clear them out and to make them a completely different person. That's what it was. It was a different type of tikkun than what they had. It was a completely different tikkun for everybody. They became the Dordea in the Midbar, a place without taiva, where there's nothing there. A place where they could sit there and be by themselves and work on themselves. Should have been for 1 year, it ended up being 40 years, but they could sit and work on themselves to go into Eretz Yisrael, where they knew it would come right back, the situations of Arias. During those 40 years, there was no Erva. During the years in Mitzrayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu put them in a place where the Mitzrayim despised them, and they weren't taken advantage of. One situation, Shlomis Bas Divri, was the only situation where you had a person being taken advantage of, and even that was a mistake. Chazal are pointing that out because this situation had to be that way. That's why throughout the Midbar, you go into the Midbar, the little situations happen. He's Avu Taiva. You had a case of Taiva. You had Bochel and Mishpachosev. They're crying about their families. They're little issues that come up. But those little issues become huge. They start springboarding because that's exactly what they had to be Medakin. That's what they were trying to fix up. The final door, our generation, what's known as Ikvasa de Mashiach, the heels leading up to Mashiach's times. What we're in, the Chofetz Chaim said, it started from when he was around. So we're talking the 1920s.